Again, looking ahead to our sukkahs, so we know that what determines the name of a sukkah, what gives it the properties of a sukkah, generally everything revolves around the schach. The al-shem ha-schach kriya sukkah, and all the halachas really pertain to the schach. There's very little that really matters when it comes to the walls of the sukkah. Now, we need a structure. The schach can't just be freestanding. You know, if you levitate schach or something, it just wouldn't work. The idea is you need to have a structure. And the difference between a structure and a house is the schach. That's to make it or break it. But nonetheless, as far as the walls, we know we need a certain amount of walls around the sukkah. But as far as what the materials are, what you use for the materials, it's really pretty much irrelevant. It's almost anything will be kosher. Now, we do find one halacha, which is quite relevant in regard to the walls of the sukkah, and that is, at the very least, they have to actually be walls. They have to be a sturdy, standing positioned properly in their role as a wall. That means is that if the wall is something which cannot stand by itself in a ruach mitzuyah, ruach mitzuyah is determined as any normal circumstance. We're not talking about when the hurricane gales, we're not talking about in any strange situation. In a regular, normal situation in that general area, if the wind would knock over the wall, then the wall is not sturdy enough. If that's so, it just doesn't count. It's not a wall. Again, it has nothing to do with what you make the wall out of, it just has to be sturdy enough to last. Now, where this comes in, and it's quite relevant, is a canvas sukkah. Sukkahs that are made out of canvas and other material. The canvas of its own accord cannot stand in any wind whatsoever. It's going to flutter whichever way it goes. Now, generally the Paiskim say that the measurement of 3 tefachim, if a wall will move in a wind, a span, it will cover a span of 3 tefachim, it's half an amma, you see exactly what that is, but it's not that much. If a wall will flutter that much, it loses its halachic stability, and therefore it will no longer count as a wall. Now this will come out true even if the ends of the wall were anchored, they were tied down properly, but the rest of the wall is generally fluttering, so even though the frame, so to speak, of the wall is kosher, but since it's fluttering, according to, again, the consensus of Paiskim, or the Shitas, the consensus, the Mishavrua, the mainstream Paiskim all maintain that this wall is not a wall. Therefore, if someone would have a canvas sukkah, you have a serious issue. Now, first of all, it's not always an issue, because as much as we focus on our perception of a sukkah, very often our sukkah is built along a house. It's built along a railing. Beyond what we see as a sukkah, very often the house itself may contribute as a wall, even if it's not attached. Or the railing may contribute. These are obviously very detailed halachas that depend on each person's personal scenario. But again, just to focus on these canvas walls themselves, if they're not heavy material, especially if they're not heavy material, and especially if they're not tied properly, really, really strongly, and very often, even if they are tied strongly, they will nonetheless, the middle of the material will flutter quite a bit. So what do you do? So over the years, the industry has evolved quite a bit, and now when they sell these sukkahs, generally most of the companies that sell it with some sort of straps. The concept of these straps, for those who are unfamiliar, these straps are based on a concept called lavud. Lavud is that when you have pieces of material, of schach, of wall, and there's a gap between them, we disregard minor gaps. Now those gaps may be up to 3 tefachim. So theoretically, if you have a wall or a schach that has small gaps consistently throughout the sukkah, we could ignore that and pretend it was a full-fledged wall. So what they want you to do is, the companies are selling these sukkahs, they tell you, leave a space from the ground up, about 2.5 tefachim. There are then brackets along the inside of the sukkah where you will attach the strap. Again, there'll be another space of 2.5 tefachim, a second strap, and a third strap. 3 levels of straps. By doing so, you've broken down the minimum requirement of 10 tefachim into 3 levels. There will be lavud between each one of these levels. And technically speaking, we're really disregarding the canvas walls altogether. They really have no relevance whatsoever. The walls, we'll consider them for halachic purposes if they don't exist. They offer privacy and they'll help you enjoy your sukkahs. But the actual walls in halacha will be these straps. And again, this is what many, I think the majority, if not all of the people who sell these sukkahs today, tend to do. Now, there's one thing to keep in mind. For somebody who does that, you'll say, hey, solve the problem. You have these straps, and assuming the straps are fixed properly, you solve the problem. However, there's one thing to bear in mind, which I've actually seen in person a few times where people have done this incorrectly, and that is we have a halacha called Tasev Leimen HaAsui. A sukkah, when you put, again, the sukkah means a schach, the primary factor is a schach. The schach has to be placed with the intention of making a sukkah. If you put a schach down in a non-kosher method, and subsequently somehow the sukkah would become kosher by itself of its own volition, something would happen. The Gemara's case is where you would plunk down a whole bale of hay, and then you hollow it out. So when you plunk down the hay, there is no schach, there's no area for the schach to cover. It's not a roof. When you hollow it out, it becomes a roof subsequently by itself, so to speak, because you didn't put down a roof. That would be puzzle. In this case, let's say you built the entire sukkah, and you put down the schach, and you did not yet put up the straps. Halachically, the sukkah, according to most places, is not kosher. If you go ahead and you put the straps on, it will come out that the schach was put down prior to hechsher, and then it just becomes kosher when you put these straps up, which would make the sukkah puzzle because it's passive layman asli. That being the case, what the correct method to do would be to put the straps up first, put the walls up first, Once you have the walls in place, afterwards, and only afterwards, should one put the schach on top. If, in fact, one put the schach on first, what he would have to do is just basically stick his hand up and, you know, raise the schach a little bit and nudge it, and that way it's called, it would be considered a new placement.